Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 289, part 1, promise 11. Today is Friday, April 26, 2013.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Kept the view while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Tonight's tape is entitled Promise Number 11. As we minister Promise Number 11, let us please then to review the gist of our thrust here. And that is that Ishmael and Isaac could not stay together because one was born free and one was born of a bondwoman. And that even though they lived together for a time, that because they were not agreed, they had to part. They could not have fellowship. There's no way they could get along. They must separate. And thus, the word was fulfilled, cast out this bondwoman and her son. For the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And I believe that is like the church, I think especially of today. These two can't mix. The legalist, and I wonder sometimes why that is, maybe it's the fear of a rejection. Now, to the legalist, I have to say, don't fear. Jesus was rejected for you. And then the born free. Simply, I think, receive and move into freedom. Oh, how easy it is to get bound up. Get our eyes off of a truth, totally become bound. Some kind of a fear, some kind of a worry over rejection, some kind of a family things, whatever comes in the way, sort of we sometimes fall into the legalist thing ourselves. And so the legalist who hasn't and doesn't want to receive the promise will end up hating the freeborn Christian. One that just simply moves on in faith and goes ahead with everyday things. And for the most part, I think he is a fool for Christ's sake. I had a person shout at me this week. Said, "You know what? You're a fool. You're very foolish." And I says, "Well, to do what I'm doing, you have to be a fool." It's only fools for Christ's sake that would want to do anything like this. So we don't become bound up by the opinions of people and what they might think. We simply are freeborn Christians, and we don't go for the half and half because we can't enter into total freedom. And so then, who receives the promises? Before we can even believe for anything or hope for anything, people, we must start out right. And even as we go on in our walk, the freeborn, the Isaac crowd, I believe we have to start out each day right. Free. Free from yesterday. Free from the fears and the frustrations and the worries of this world. God hasn't given you over to worry. But see, we have worries of this world. The worries of this world will ruin your freedom. So you come under sort of a bondage. But anyway, even to just get in, before we can hope for anything, we must start out right. You must know where you are positionally. When you know your position in Jesus Christ, well, it really doesn't matter all these little things, does it? Saved because you received the free gift and believe the promises of eternal life. That's the starting point. That is the very starting point of your freeborn, born-again experience. And that's the only way you can grow. You want to stunt your growth? Get into a siege of worry. It's the only way you can grow. In the grace, it says, in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, all other growth, I believe, is inspired by the flesh. And it will always show up. It'll stink. Any kind of growth outside of knowing Jesus, and to know Jesus, the Bible says, you must enter into his suffering. It's the only way, no, not your own suffering. I mean, there's people that suffer just for themselves. They are total sufferers. They love to suffer for themselves. Seems like they're not happy until they're suffering somehow for themselves. Now, I suppose someone on the radio is being convicted, and I certainly hope so. I think we all fall into this siege at times. So I think that all other growth, I said, is inspired by the flesh and will always show up. Because without a right start, you'll get off track. Sort of like a train that gets off track. All it'll do is gather up steam and blow its whistle and won't go anyplace. And I don't think people will sit on it long. You know why? It's not heaven bound, but it's bound all right. In studying the life of Martin Luther, I found he became an expert in the law. I did that when I first got saved. And though I received the free gift, the free pardon, and freely came in and really knew I was saved, somehow someone got a hold of me, and I suppose in my own nature, and probably the devil helping me, I fell into a sort of a worrying about my salvation. And I read about Martin Luther, how he became an expert in the law. He read the whole of the Old Testament over and over, and unlike most others, he took the law of God seriously, and it was driving him crazy. And at this point, he manifested, I think, a rational madness. I had that myself. Sort of a normal abnormality. Does that make sense? I think so. As insanity, I think, is the only appropriate destiny of a man naked before the law without the benefit of Jesus Christ. What a predicament to be in. Yet sometimes we put ourselves in that very predicament. Sort of, I said, a rational madness. You can rationalize it. And I believe that means a flesh-controlled time bomb walking around. You look okay for a time, and then you bomb. You can't carry that pressure around trying to be good or trying or pretending. And so it was out of the law that Luther was driven to Christ. It was out of this agony that he rediscovered the gospel of the justification by faith. And that's how I came in. In fact, he said something like, "Oh my God, I give up." I remember saying that. And I'd been saved several weeks, and I'd been through this heavenly flotation thing where, oh, God just did everything for me, and miracles were happening left and right, and I wasn't convicted or anything, and I was just floating along, and all of a sudden, then I realized I was a sinner, and I tried to perfect myself. And so, like Martin Luther, it helped me to not go crazy, go nuts. You out there on the radio, stop pulling out your hair. Stop worrying over yourself. No one else does, you know. Not really, unless it affects them, and then they'll worry about you. Does that sound funny? It's the truth. Unless a person is brought in by the grace of God, he really can't worry about anybody else. I mean to say, be concerned. Let's use that word. Genuinely concerned. Because, you see, we can get so wrapped up in ourselves that we really can't love anybody. And that's why it says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. First of all, you have to believe that God loves you even though you are a sinner. And of course you are. And that makes it so that you can't argue with God and call God a liar. He said, I love you, you love yourself. And so stop chewing your fingernails and your toenails. Friends, without the grace of Jesus Christ, the law, if you try and keep it by yourself, by a self-righteousness, by laying burdens on others, like the Pharisees, it'll drive you insane. Totally insane. Now, in visiting and ministering in mental wards, treatment centers, prisons, I find a lot of people walking around in sort of a daze reading scriptures, quoting scriptures. And they've laid these burdens on themselves because, see, they have laid burdens on others and they tried to sort of caught up with them. Yeah. And it drove them insane. And it drives other people insane also. See, when a person continually lays laws on others, methinks he is trying to convince himself. I mean to say, his marching drum is the only drum that he marches to. And so he tries to drum up some support on his type of ministry. Sort of a sneaky way of getting group therapy. They cause an argument so they can speak their own fears. It's actually what's happening when you see a legalist ministering and they thump on their Bible and they yell and they shout. They're trying to convince themselves. They're trying to find someone to agree with them. Hey, I'm miserable. Come on in here. I'm not the only one here. Now, I want you all to agree with this. And they really don't believe it themselves. They're in a terrible fit themselves. Or else giving a confession of what's really troubling them. Listen to their do and don'ts, and usually what they say to do, they don't do. And what to don't do, they have or will do. Because once you say you're not going to do something without the power of Jesus Christ, you certainly will do it. Or you'll go nuts. And so by trying to keep the law, they have become raving maniacs. Sometimes, you know, you can rave in your own head. You'd be talking to somebody and there's so much raving going on. Oh, what'd you say? See, you got all this raving going on in your head. Warriors, unsure, frustrated, and powerless. And you know, Satan will use their confused, upset mind to lead others into confusion. I've come to know, hallelujah, and it happened after 9 months of my first being saved some 15 years ago. I come to know the grace message because I was totally getting ready to go total nuts. Not that I wasn't there already. But I'm talking about in the Lord. And so Satan will use their confused, upset mind to lead others into confusion. The crazy leading the crazy. A lot of crazies running around, you know what I mean? And all, I believe, because they have not fully received the promise. So let me ask this question. Whose are the promises? First, let's realize this. The Lord is ever just and good towards his creatures, always. But there is no necessity, either in his justice or in his goodness, that should make the promises of grace to those who rebelled against him. Get that straight. He didn't have to offer them anything because we had no claims. Man has forfeited every form of claim upon his Maker, which he may have thought he had. He broke the law, the Bible says. All that is due him was a reward for his sins, the Bible says. And you know something, if God were to deal with us according to our sins, or deal with us upon the ground of his strict justice, he must then condemn and then punish us. And this is where God offers us undeserved, unmerited mercy. And sovereign, let me use that word, sovereign goodness. Well, there's so much argument about God's absolutes. Well, he can absolutely change his mind. See, there's a sovereignty that overrules his absolutes. And so in his sovereignty, he says, I will give mercy. I won't judge. I'll give mercy. I'm not going to judge. And all this must spring forth out of his goodwill, and the Bible says his good pleasure. That's what he wants to do. And so keep this in mind. The promises of grace flow from the boundless love of God and from him alone and nowhere else. They couldn't have come from any other source. And so no man has a natural right to the promises or blessings, or can we deserve them by any kind of self-merit. And so God has made the promises to men of his own free will and good pleasure, with no other motive. This is a simple, I want to. He doesn't give a long explanation like we do. I like you because. Count the ways. No, this is what I want to do, and I'm going to do it. And it's very simple. And so we have those. Why? You're never going to get a total answer on that, okay? I desire to do it, and that is that. I will have mercy upon those I want to give mercy on, and that's it. No other motive but the love that he has within himself. See, God is love. He doesn't have to acquire it. He didn't learn it in school. And so he chose to make his promises to elect persons. You have been elected. Well, did you deserve it? Is there someone out there saying, yes, I really believe I do. We come from a long line of deservers. It doesn't have nothing to do with it. No, you were elected to receive. Did you ever wonder about that? How all of a sudden you were going along in your life and then you got saved and your life started to change? And you went a 50-yard dash and then you stopped and then you went long distance running and then you went back a ways and back and forth and so on like that, huh? No, it's because God elected to save you. Before the foundation of the world was even founded, I knew you. So those whom God has chosen are led by the Holy Spirit to choose God and his way of salvation by faith in Christ Jesus. It was foreordained, hallelujah, that you should be saved. Now it takes all the work out of it. It takes all the building up of ourself out of it. It takes all the doctrines out of it. And it just leaves God steering your boat. I was reading Psalm 77 and 8. It says, will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? I have to say this, let no doubt ever come into your minds. Just because you can't see how a thing can be done. Oh, I don't know how this will ever be done. I just don't understand it. I don't know how it'll ever be done. I just can't understand it. I don't. You want to be a worrier? Then worry about how God is going to get something done. It will get done. according to his promise. I don't know how God could ever save a nincompoop like that. It's beyond me. Of course it's beyond you. It'll always be beyond you. There's no way that you can fathom God's love. Isn't it enough that God said so and that he will do it? Isn't it enough that he has promised and then died on the cross to seal it? What more do you want? And so if you have been led by the Holy Spirit to faith in Jesus Christ, then all who have faith in him may know without a doubt that you are one of the chosen numbers to whom the promises are given. To those who live and die, of course, in unbelief, there is no promise of God. They are not under grace, but they are under the law. And will perish because of their choice. And so the chosen of the Lord are led to give up the proud way of self and merit and then take to the road of faith and so find rest, it says, in their souls. Oh, I'm so leery about someone that just goes to church and all of a sudden they're going to make a member of the church. Okay, I am a member of so-and-so church. I have been coming faithfully for a month. I went to classes and so on. And these are so-called born-again churches. And then they baptize them in water and they're a member of that church. Have they made a personal commitment to Jesus Christ? And so to believe in the Word of God and trust in Jesus Christ may seem like a very small thing to some. But you see, this is not so, is it? Now, the more you come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the simpler it becomes. Because all your questions get knocked in the head. See, it is a sign of election, so that's not too simple, is it? Can you figure out election? Can you figure out the token of regeneration when you just started to change? Did you ever think on that when you started to change? Well, maybe you've had backfalls and maybe you had this. No, you're always going to be in that body. When you have within your body the mark of the coming glory, then it doesn't seem all that simple, does it? And so to believe that God is true and rest our eternal interest on his promise reveals a heart reconciled to God. A person that truly knows they're reconciled to God just rests on the promises. Boy, if you want to have peace during a time of struggle, know that you're reconciled unto God and then nothing's going to shake you. It also reveals a spirit in which the germ of holiness is planted. There is a portion of you, of course, that cannot sin, born of the Spirit. And your flesh is always going to be kicking up. That's why the Bible says, follow not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Don't use that, legalist. Don't start using that again. Because just like any of us, you also have this earthly tent you're walking around in too. And so when we believe in God as he is revealed in Jesus Christ, we believe all of his promises. And so I believe confidence in a person involves confidence in all that he speaks. Doesn't it? If you have confidence in God, you're going to believe everything he says. Love believes all things. And so then we begin to accept all the promises of God as being sure, and not only sure, but certain. We don't trust one promise and doubt another. Psalm 105:42 says, "For he remembered his holy promise." Now, isn't just a promise. He remembered his holy promise, and also, listen to what else he remembered, and Abraham his servant. Here then is the secret reason for all this grace. He remembers his people because he remembered his covenant. See, a holy God must keep his promise holy. He isn't going to be swayed by any wind of some church's doctrine. Now, do you believe that? Well, that's what we try to do when we get a doctrine. We try to sway God with our doctrine. And so we can then rely upon each promise as true, and we believe it to be true to us. Let me add this, so far as it has respect to our condition and our circumstances. Sometimes, in other words, it's a little harder to believe the promise than it is at other times. Well, when you got a lot of money in your pocket, and everything is going good, it's easier to believe the promise. But when those things cascade, those things fall back that you trusted in, maybe the whole of your life, it's a little harder to go on the promise. Isn't it? That doesn't change the promise. No, that does not change. Praise God, it doesn't change the promise, right? You're believing it or not believing it, because you're a believer, the promise is still for you. And so, he who has said that he will save those who believe in him will save me, since I believe in him. Yeah, you see, it's so simple, but the Ishmael crowd will not have it. It's too easy. It's too easy to be free. I'm going to walk with a ball and chain around my foot. Gagged. Blindfolded. Walking on my knees. Maybe resting somewhere in a purgatory cloud. See, faith is too simple for him. And so the Ishmael crowd in the churches are angered at it. I believe until the Holy Ghost works a miracle, they will not believe the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is enough. They can't believe that when Jesus said it is finished, that's exactly what it meant. So a complete faith in Jesus Christ, although simple for the Isaac freeborns, has become, the Bible bears out what I'm going to say, has become a stumbling block to the Ishmael crowd. And they just can't understand it. Why somebody can be free. They can't understand why someone can sit with worldly sinners like Jesus did. Well, you must not be saved. I've seen you talking to that worldly person. Sometimes I'm even against some of these schools where they pull everybody out and they put them in a little select group over here. It's not realistic. It's not dealing with the problem. Is it? Oh, the confining of the person for a time might do some good for a time. That old flesh, you keep it bound up in this certain atmosphere, it's going to bust loose. It's a nightmare. See, your old subconscious will sabotage you. That's why the things we want to do, we can't. It's old attitudes we have. Maybe there's someone that we'd like to say a nice thing to them, but we sabotage ourselves. And we promise ourselves we're going to be nice that day. And as soon as we see that person, we say things we don't want to say. We sabotage ourselves. We can go through our whole life that way, sabotaging ourselves. Oh, this guy, he loved his wife so much. He said, I just love her so much. But every time I see her, it comes out. I mean, I just say this to her. I'm so mean to her. I'm this, I'm that, and so on like that. And vice versa. I've heard it from both sides. I don't know why I do it. Well, it's that old nature. And then to make it worse, you legalize the thing, and you legalize yourself, and you say, I'm going to get different, and you try to be different, and you can't do it without the love of God. Do you ever fall into those things? Your husband comes in, he's got muddy boots on, been out with a dog, and you promise yourself you're not going to say anything, and he comes in, the dog is all over, he's all over. And you're just not going to say anything, but you just can't help yourself. You just can't, huh? So maybe you go for another 2 weeks being mad. That's where legalism will take you every time. Well, even worldly wise men have faith. You know what? God loves faith because it honors Him. Do you think someone gets rich in this world? I'm talking about unborn again people. Okay, they're not Christian. How do they get that way? By faith. To every man born is given faith. A mustard seed of it. And then because it leads to acts of obedience to Him, and this obedience includes the love of our fellow men, by the way, there is more faith than meets the eye. It is the greatest of all good works, even as our Lord Jesus Christ teaches us. And the Jews said to Him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? They wanted to do God-like works, work above all others, approved of the Lord. And Jesus answered this. This is the work of God, that ye believe on Him who He has sent. And so that meant, and this means the most divinely approved work possible to all of us is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate in works, godly works. Believe in the one that worked it out for you. That's what you must do. And so the legalists of that day, they didn't understand. It became a stumbling block to them. And so to trust in Jesus Christ is the climax of virtue. Proud men may sneer at this, but this statement is, of course, true, isn't it? The greatest thing you can do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest work you can do.
That was episode 289, part 1, promise 11. Be sure to join us on Sunday for the conclusion. Have a great weekend. God bless you.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. Gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
It may be a state trooper. It may be a young Turk. Maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Working on a home. Might be living in a mansion. You might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord. You may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a preacher, preacher, spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk. Might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes, indeed,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ. You may call me Ray. You may call me anything. No matter what you say, you're still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.